Patricia, welcome to the Travel Writer Show. Now, I see you've recently been chosen by Forbes magazine as one of the 25 most influential women in travel. I know, I was quite honored, actually. And I'm keeping company with some very highly visible, very respected names. It was something of a surprise. But people think I'm something of an overnight sensation, but I've been doing this for many, many, many years, for decades.
Been reading your biography, and you've made an enviable career out of traveling the world. It's the sort of job that so many people would love to have.
Yeah, and as with so many wonderful professions in life, it's quite competitive. I think everyone in the world and then some would like this type of career to fill their lives. A lot of it was just stick-to-itiveness, as my German father would call it, you know, keep showing up, keep saying yes, keep going the extra mile. And ultimately, down the road, it actually kind of gelled and made sense. But for those first many years, as with until and including today, I did it because I loved it, even though it was not lucrative by any means. The rewards were that I lived this remarkable life that allowed me to travel.
You certainly did. How did you come up with the idea of 1,000 places to go before you die?
Well, there was this notion and this concept of compiling all of my wonderful experiences over time and those that were on my own bucket list, not yet experienced, that was this wonderful mix of the very well-known and the totally unknown and the iconic, the historic, the cultural, the fun, locally in my backyard, as well as the most remote and far-flung corners, and having this great compilation of everything I had experienced to date and those places I still hoped to see, and kind of put it between two covers. And I was lucky enough to have found a publisher who was very much on the same page. And it started out ironically as just 100 places, and then they added a zero because at the end of the day, they just want to sell a lot of copies.
It was the one number one bestseller, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually, it was almost immediately upon release, it landed as number one on the New York Times bestseller list and stayed there for almost, actually over a year, I believe, which broke records. And, you know, it's many years later, we keep updating it and keeping it fresh and relevant, and it continues to fly off the shelf.
Now, I've heard a story about that you met an elderly woman in Machu Picchu who was taking your advice and traveling for the first time.
Oh, you know, that was such a lovely, that's such a charming story. I know that if I live to be 100 years old, I'll always hold a soft spot in my heart for this woman who was from New Jersey, a neighboring state of New York where I live. And I, to celebrate the 8 years that it took me to write this book and to give myself this gift of survival, I booked a trip to Machu Picchu because it had long been on my list. It's not easy. You need time. You need money. You need, you know, the conviction to actually get there. You fly into the beautiful capital city of Peru, which is Lima, and then from there you connect to Cusco. And Cusco is very, very, very high. It's up in the Andes. It's 11,000 feet above sea level. And so arrogant, cocky me did not bother to take altitude sickness pills, and I did have a reaction to it. Not everyone does. And I was sitting in the lobby of my hotel with an oxygen mask on my face. Anyway, this elderly woman, I knew she was kind of north of 70, very sprightly, and she ambled over to me looking concerned and maybe spotting a fellow compatriot, a fellow American, I don't know. But she sat down and spoke with me, and it turns out she was very excited, very enthusiastic. This was her first passport. It was her first country, her first stamp. And she was celebrating her 90th birthday, and her husband, who was not doing well with the altitude, was resting in the room upstairs. They were celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary.
Oh, how lovely.
I know. And so she, we sat and talked. It was mostly a monologue on her part because I was using the oxygen mask. But she said that she dropped out of school at 11. She spent her entire life putting her children through high school, college, university, and graduate school. And at as she approached 90, she had always wanted to travel. She always, even at that age, had a curiosity. They all got together. She had four children. And they gave her a book, and they gave her a yellow highlighter so she could underline and notate any city in the world or any country destination she wanted to go to. They would send their parents there for their 70th, for her 90th birthday. And she said to me, perhaps you've heard of the book. It's called 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. As she left me, she said, you know, dear, your knees have expiration dates. You have to do the difficult places first. And she was doing just that. Really, my hat goes off to her because it's not an easy trip. It's rather arduous. She could have just gotten on a cruise ship, but she followed her heart. She had her own wish list, and Machu Picchu was at the top of it.
Now, talking of cruising, I mean, does cruising fit into your travels?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it would be laughable to think that it doesn't. It's such a very, very, very popular way of travel that's, that appeals to everybody across the board.
Do you sort of occasionally cruise?
Oh, yes, very much so. And often because I'm invited as a guest speaker, and often because it's my husband's preferred way of travel.
Tell me, do you still have a bucket list?
Oh, sure. You know, every trip I take and every destination I experience, that I kind of check off. I come back having added an additional 15 places to my wish list. So it never, ever really, I mean, you know, to be realistic, I think to, you know, meet your end thinking that you've seen as much as you've ever dreamt about or intended to is not likely to happen. And that's wonderful. I can't imagine saying, well, saw the world, I'm checking out. You always want to know, I think that, or you always, I think we'll always acknowledge that there were places left unseen. So you do need to prioritize, and you do need to travel as much as you can and as far as you can while you can. I think we live with this bet that we can put it off at some time in the future when the kids are grown, or when, you know, college, university tuitions are paid, or when you retire. There's a whole list of reasons. But really, I encourage people to carpe diem, do it today. There's no time like today. There's no time like the present.
And you're in Australia now as an ambassador for Trafalgar Tours.
This is not my first trip. I've been many, many times. I can't return often enough and stay long enough. And yes, I'm very, very honored. It's a privilege for me to work with Trafalgar.
It's been wonderful talking to you.
Thank you very, very much for your time, and keep traveling.